Thanks everybody for hanging out. I see a lot of people clearing out today, and I appreciate you sticking around. I'm going to talk to you today about the process we went through for an OREI, a large grant application through OREI. Not only to share our experience with it, but really to encourage you all to go through the process yourselves. A lot of talks have been going on the last couple of days, especially in the conservation and tillage reduction area, where we obviously need more research. So I think going through this process is going to, you know, only help the system. Okay, I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Doug Collins, Chris Benedict, and Colleen Burrows. We're all on the west side of Washington, where it's wet. And it's cool. It's wet all the time, except in the middle of the summer. And this year being even an exception to that. So reduction in tillage is challenging because we have heavy soils, you know, 4% organic matter, lots of wetness in the spring and the fall. So it's a little challenging. But let's move on. So one of the best ways to get going on an OREI proposal or a large USDA, such as specialty crops, is to get a planning grant funded. And this is what we did. We proposed a no-till organic vegetable production study, and we quickly learned, after being funded and getting a whole bunch of growers together and a whole bunch of researchers and extension people together, that no-till is not going to happen in Western Washington, not strict no-till. And we've heard a lot of reasons why over the last couple of days. But we still got funded because we wanted to explore it, and it hasn't really been explored in Western Washington. So we got the money. We put together a big symposium. We got experts from all across the country to come in and talk to us about organic no-till, because we all know it's the holy grail. We had a two-day workshop and planning session. The first day was our speakers. We had Jeff Moyer from Rodale Institute come and talk about the benefits of the systems. Issues and challenges was brought up by Carmen Fernholz from Minnesota, came out. And some of you may have heard John Luna's talk on hybrid systems. He came out and really enlightened us. And then cover crops and equipment was covered by Ron Morris from Virginia Tech, who's done quite a bit in vegetable production in no-till organic. So we had a big crowd of farmers. It was mostly farmers in the crowd, big day, and so we kind of enlightened them, and then we brought them out to our field demonstration, which we didn't have any funding for, but we did have a roller crimper, and we tried doing pumpkin production in crimped rye, and it worked pretty good. It had some challenges, but we put everybody on a bus and took them out to the field and finished that day. Day two, we had breakout groups in these categories where we took, you know, everybody had to, we kind of assigned them secretly so they had no idea. We color-coded their name tag so they'd end up in a group where they had to talk about one of these. And we split up all the farmers together and basically trying to get at what is it that we need to focus on for a project of this size. Okay, so we had over 80 farmers and from Western Washington doing organic and interested in no-till. It's pretty impressive, and it was a good day, lots of good questions. Then out in the field, we had already harvested the pumpkins, but we went over the data with the crowd, and then we did some digging around to show the difference between we had just a strict till as usual versus roller crimp and no-till. Then some of you may have been on this national workshop that they did last year on grant preparation and management, where they had all kinds of successful researchers and agency folks doing a webinar. Did anybody do that last year? Anybody get on that? Lots of good information. And it was at Cornell, but it was just a national webinar. And so our whole core PI group was frantically taking notes at this thing, saying, okay, what do we got to do to get an OREI grant? Lots of good information on all these categories. So we tried to at least focus on each one and get people who are interested in doing this kind of stuff with those disciplines involved. One of the things that really came out was the systems approach. Of course, you know, working in organic systems, you need to be doing that anyway. But bringing it up as a focus in your grant proposal came through loud and clear during that session. So we put this big team together, the core PIs, myself, and my co-authors I mentioned. We're all extension faculty, and these are our various disciplines. We have departmental faculty involved that are either, most of them are on research stations. We have two in Western Washington, Mount Vernon and Puyallup. Most of them are affiliated with those, but we did have some campus and some from University of Idaho as well. But farmers were the most important piece of the puzzle. That's really what drives, that's what drives all of the information. So we had, from that first seminar, we had 80 farmers that we included in the needs assessment. 17 of those were stuck through the entire process. So pretty impressive. And then a whole host of agency folks, conservation districts from three counties. Our Northwest Ag Business Center was a private nonprofit group. And I won't go through the whole thing, but we rounded it out with this many people. Big project. Another big thing that came out of that national seminar was, you know, besides your logic model, put together a concept map. And me, I've worked in ecology for 20 years, so I understood what they're talking about, but trying to get farmers to dial in on a concept map was really fun, let me tell you. So what we did was we literally had a concept map development session where we made everybody sit in a room and how is this going to work? Okay, what do we have to cover? How does everything interact? We literally had one person on the computer putting the thing into PowerPoint as we're shooting ideas at them. So it was a grueling process. I put this up here because I would never do this to you as a slide. I would never want anybody to read all that. Think about that as a reviewer, you know. It's good. It's a good process to go through so you know what you're concentrating on. But as a reviewer who has to go through that many proposals, are they going to sit there and read through all this? I don't know. So the concept map was, we said we have to do a concept map. So we go through this process, and here's another slide that I would never show on purpose, but this is literally how we started out, trying to show how all these things interact. It's chaos, okay? And the day was chaos. And it followed by more meetings and phone calls and we're getting closer, but look at this mess, right? So finally we get it together. We finally got it together where it flowed, it makes sense. All our participants had a piece of the puzzle and could understand what's going on. Do I have a mouse here? Let's see, yeah. This is what I consider the most important arrow right here, is because if you're not flexible enough to change something that's not right and revisit it, then you're not doing anybody any good. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay, so moving on, we finally got our concept map together. We did the whole process. We're all on pins and needles. It's a very competitive process. But they placed us in the high category. We're in the high category, which is good. I mean, we were not outstanding, but very good summary and recommendations. So we had a lot more kudos than we did dings. And I'll get to that in a moment. I'm not going to read these, but these were quotes from all of the reviewers. For me, as this is the largest project I've ever taken on as a lead PI, so it was encouraging to see this kind of response from the panel summary. Strengths, I'm not going to go through them all, but they gave us high marks on all of these categories, with a few weaknesses that they were very nitpicky about, and in some cases, super basic stuff that we should have caught, you know? So it's pretty good to have that kind of feedback. So all in all, I think it was a very thorough and detailed summary, and those weaknesses, I think, are easily addressable. We were strongly encouraged to resubmit, so we're absolutely going to do that. The one thing I want to point out is where it says only one state, Washington. Western Washington does have a super unique climate, and so the only one we can work with is going to be Western Oregon, which we are already doing. So I think that's one of the big hurdles that we're going to overcome for that. That's it. I want to thank the OREI for the planning grant money. And WSU CSANR, that's Center for Sustaining Ag and Natural Resources, they're helping us limp along between proposal applications so that we can keep collecting data. So I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, it's funny that you point that out, because that was pretty hairy. It went, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, scalability. So there's, out of those 80 farmers, some of them are very small and some of them are very large. So it was very difficult to get through the equipment issues. You know, we're like, what's the problem? You know, get a combine. So as far as what came out of there, I think we ended up actually losing some of the really small scale farmers it ended up that the 17 that stuck with us through the whole project are really the more larger growers, and that they're not big. I mean, compared to any of you in the audience, it's small potatoes or wheat, whatever, but I think the really small ones probably dropped off as a result of that. Other questions? Go ahead.
To what extent did the producers that did stick with you, how were they actually implementing some of the practices that you wanted to improve? How far along were they?
So we didn't do any roller crimper stuff on any of the farms yet. That was just in the proposal. So half a dozen of those, and we don't know exactly which ones are going to be included in the on-farm trials. So we're doing two research stations and half a dozen on-farm trials. And so they're all kind of vying for that position right now. But they haven't implemented those practices on farm yet. They will. Kevin.
What would be the downside of including farms in eastern Washington or Idaho or other?
I think
it's not a similar environment.
No, it's a really good question. I think the downside is we would have to, it's the cover crops getting started, roller crimping. John Luna mentioned it yesterday. Roller crimping cover crops in Western Washington is really late. So it would have to be very different experimental designs, I think. But other than that, I mean, there probably wouldn't be a downside to include, even if it is a different set of experiments.
All right, we're going to have to move on.
Thank you.
Thank you.